Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Hilton appears to have been hacked. If you're a frequent Hilton guest, are your points safe? And believe it or not, we can get you a luxury hotel room in New York City for only $100, but the sale only lasts for a week. We have details.
USA Today in Sacramento Bee travel columnist and consumer advocate Christopher Elliott is the guy who helps keep other people out of harm's way. So how is it that he and his family were victims of some pretty daring and intelligent crooks? Chris joins us at 3:15.
Sacramento Airport is always busy at holiday travel time. We have a guest to update you on parking and paving and all those P sorts of things at 3:35.
And we wrap up the hour with two entertainment guests. TV star Patrick Bristow is here to tell us about his new adult show, Pup It Up, at the Geary Theater in San Francisco. And we have the scoop on something new at KVIE, all that at 3:45.
The ice is melting downtown.
Yes, can you... it is.
I'm melting. Oh, God, I'm melting. Welcome aboard. It's another busy Sunday afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, doing the impersonation of the Wicked Witch from...
Wait, you're Tom Romano?
Yes.
Wow.
And we're brought to you by
first time
Sports
I ever
Leisure
realized that.
Vacations. Yeah, first time you ever noticed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're Tom Romano. Tom,
actually, for those that remember, Thomas Lorenzo Angelo Di Stefano Romano is the full name.
I see.
It's another edition of the Travel Guys, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy day to join us or break away from football. Maybe you're on your way to pick up that extra six-pack of beer or snacks for the Kings game this afternoon in four, where they're going to win their sixth in a row.
Isn't that pretty amazing?
Yeah, how about that?
You know, I'm shifting from baseball to basketball. Yeah, you've got your Kings gear on there.
I do. I'm wearing my number 24, Bobby Jackson.
I'm still still basking in the glory of the World Series.
Mark is wearing his champion World Series championship 2012 hat. It's like 2 years old.
Can't afford a 2014 one yet. They're still getting full price for those. So.
Well, Mark, you spent a lot of time on the road over the last week. So let's do what we promised our listeners we would do and tap into all of the knowledge that you gained on the road and. Let's do the Yes.
Yeah. But go ahead.
The segment that is now entitled, What Did Mark Learn on the Road This Week?
You know, I went to Milwaukee, but sandwiched around going to Milwaukee, and we'll talk about that in a second, but sandwiched around going to Milwaukee was a Wednesday night before I left Thursday morning to go to Milwaukee on business and came back yesterday afternoon. But before I left on Thursday morning, on Wednesday night, I went to Modesto for a concert. And went down there to the Gallo Music Center where we take Sports Leisure travelers on a pretty regular basis. And Tom, I have to tell you that your hometown, you're from Modesto, right?
You bet I am.
And your hometown is the downtown area is, I assume you go there with some regularity.
I have family still down there. So we visit. It's changed a lot since I left there in the early 70s.
But Modesto had a period of time when it wasn't, the safest place to be. And, there were some.
It's gone through some negative times.
But the downtown right now, the core area downtown has restaurants and stores. And the Gallo Center downtown has really made a big difference, I think, in just the whole thing. I mean, it's just, and so I went down there Wednesday night to see a concert from a group that you'll remember, America.
America, let me see. What was their song? About Ventura something? Let's review while Mark a little background music for your America.
It's three guys who did, pretty much mellow vocal stuff in the 70s, and they've hung around, and they keep doing they're still doing their music. Two of the three guys are still original, And they did a wonderful concert. And the amazing thing, Tom, was everybody in the audience was within 10 years of yours or my age.
Mm-hmm.
And because these guys did what I will affectionately refer to as white music, I mean, you know, it's just middle-of-the-road stuff.
Classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
It was. So there's no rap in there. I mean, there's no, you know, it's not really a it's the type of music that lends itself well to ethnic sorts of things. So it, but it was fun. And the Gallo Center is such an amazing place to see a concert. It seats about 1,400 people. It's a really intimate space. The people there are incredibly nice and incredibly friendly all the time. And it's just, if you ever get a chance to go there, anybody who's listening, to see something at the Gallo Center, it's such a much better place to watch something than our own community center here in town, because the acoustics are much better, the sight lines are better, and the seats are better. There really are no bad seats in the house.
Awesome. Now, are we gonna travel to San Francisco now?
Well, yes.
Are we gonna do that?
Well, I had to go to Milwaukee in between times, so that was Wednesday night. God, that was just a blast from the past. That was so much fun.
I can tell.
You should have been there, because you're a guitar guy. And these guys, these little 3-minute top 40 songs that they had all had these big guitar licks in them and stuff. You never heard those on the radio. But they do it live.
Yes,
yeah,
they open it up a little bit.
It was kind of neat. Last night, I got back from Milwaukee, took the train to San Francisco last night for a very special, it was called Time Stepping. It was two people on a stage at the Curran Theater for 75 minutes, Carol Channing and Tommy Tune.
Awesome.
So Carol Channing is 93 years old. Tommy Tune is 75. They're both longtime Broadway stars.
Not to be mistaken with the rock artist Tommy Tutone.
No, that's somebody entirely different. Carol Channing is 93, of course. She was Dolly Levi.
Right.
In Hello, Dolly for all of those years. And her memory is starting to fail her a little bit at this point. But Tommy is a good friend of hers, and they sat on the stage, and he coached her to tell old stories for an hour and 10 minutes about Betty White and just funny, ridiculous stuff that if you're an old theater person or you just have followed the career of Carol Channing through the years, it was priceless. It was, there's no amount of money that could have bought that.
Did they talk about Joan Rivers?
No, they did not. They never brought Joan up. Carol Channing got her start in theater by being with her mother and passing out Christian Science Monitor little brochure pamphlets for the actors to read between shows in the Curran Theater.
Wow.
When she was a little girl. And so last night, here she was on the stage, perhaps for the last time, because she's 93, and she obviously, Alzheimer's is or some form of memory loss is starting to become somewhat of an issue for her. But it was the most, it was such a wonderful evening. I can't even begin to tell. If you ever get a chance to go see somebody who has done, you know, who has been a legend like Carol Channing, and to go see one of these things where they just do an evening with, and you can spend an hour and a half getting to know them, go and do it, because it was, I think it was $100 or $125 or something like that, but it was worth every penny.
Manny, I can tell. Danny, you're still
good. Well, what we learned with Mark on the road today is Mark knows how to have a good time and where to find it.
You know, you have to, you've got to, one of the things that the people who travel with me have taught me is that you have to go and see these people. When these things are happening, you have to take the time out of your schedule and go do it, because otherwise there may not be another opportunity to do it. I also learned that in Milwaukee, it gets very cold in the winter. And guess what? Winter has already arrived in Milwaukee. We got off the plane on the Gallo opened the plane on Thursday, and it was a regional jet. I happened to be in the first row. And she opens the door, and the blast hits us. And the first thing she says was, "Welcome to Milwaukee. It's cold. Put on some clothes."
That's great.
And I learned that the Hilton, if you ever travel to Milwaukee, the Hilton Garden Inn in downtown Milwaukee is a great place. Do we still have time for the news here for a minute?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, bring
on Huey, and let's bring on Mark. And
I got rambling
this week's
there.
Version of the travel news. What do you got?
All right, we told people that the Hilton Honors system, mm-hmm. which is their frequent flyer thing, got hacked. And the reason we know this is because some folks on a frequent flyer reported that one guy says he lost 258,000 points that went away. Hilton says that they will put the points back. And not to worry about another guy says he lost 135,000 points. Apparently, these guys have hacked into some accounts.
Well, hacking
on Hilton, and
is sacred.
No, and if you go to the Hilton Honors website and you try to log in, you put in your username and your password, and now you have to fill in another thing. You have to look at something and write in what you see. So Hilton obviously is taking some extra security. So if you have a Hilton Honors account, you might want to just go there and check up on it a couple times in the next couple weeks. We told you in the headlines that there are some luxury hotel rooms in New York for $100. Some cities have been doing these dine out weeks.
Sure, we do those here in Sacramento.
Exactly, where restaurants have special prices. Mm-hmm. They started in New York about 15 years ago, and now it's spreading to Hotel Week. They're doing one. They're doing one in L.A. in this month. They're doing one in New York in January, between January the 3rd and the 18th. Hotels that are participating are $100, $200, and $300. Some of them are 5-4 and 5-diamond hotels that you can get for just during that period of time for the maximum of $100, $200, and $300. So if you're going to New York in early January, not too many people are, but if you happen to be going in early January, why, check it out. There may be some terrific hotel rates available. U.S. visitation to Canada is off 54% since 2000. People from the United States are not going to Canada. And you know what my theory is on that, Tom?
Yeah, well, what is your theory? That was my question.
Yeah, people used to go to Canada because it was exotic. It was a foreign country. It was easy to get to. Now that people can fly over the pond on a jet airplane so easily and the world is such a small place, I don't think that Canada has quite the... And plus, in the 80s, Canada had an exchange rate where the U.S. dollar, you get about $1.40 Canadian when you went over the border. And while the exchange rate is fairly favorable right now at about $1.12, $1.15, it's not quite that $1.40 mm-hmm. that it was before. Americans would rather work for free than travel.
What does that mean?
Last year, American workers declined to take advantage of 169 million days of paid vacation, foregoing $52 billion in salary and benefits.
Wow.
American workers averaged 16 days of vacation, the fewest days in almost four decades last year. The decline has been particularly precipitous since 2000, when vacation days decreased by almost a full week.
Do you think any reason for that? Do you think it's because people are afraid to take their vacations? Because a lot of times when you take vacation, they ask you not to come back.
You're afraid you're not going to have a job when you come back. And obviously that's the case. But U.S. Travel now is on a huge campaign to get people to recognize the fact that when you travel, that's really good for the economy.
Sure.
So when you stay home and you don't travel, it's not good for the economy. So go get off your buns and take your vacation. And one final story here on the travel news. Man offers free trip to anyone with his ex-girlfriend's name. Apparently, this is a gentleman calling all the Elizabeth Gallaghers in Canada. Would you like a free trip around the world? This gentleman, Jordan Axani, 28, nice looking dude. He planned this vacation with him and his girlfriend for a couple of weeks around the world. She's history now. So he says, if your name is Elizabeth Gallagher, he would love to take you on this wonderful vacation. Quote, I'm not asking for anything in return. I'm not looking for companionship, romance, drugs, a trade, or to take selfies with you in front of the Christmas market in Prague. If you feel compelled to cost me a couple $100, great. Really, the only thing I ask is that you enjoy this trip and that it bring you happiness. You better hurry, though. He says he's received thousands of emails from around the world in response to his post, including dozens of emails from Elizabeths who are in Canada.
Awesome. That's great.
And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Chris Elliott joins us. And if you've ever, if you've ever had anything taken from you, perhaps out of your car while shopping, and, you're going to enjoy Chris's story coming up, and you'll be able to empathize. That's next on The Travel Guys.
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Always here to make you a smarter traveler. We are The Travel Guys. Mark Kaufman with Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Thanks for joining us. We're going to bring on a special guest that, a lot of you might have had an opportunity to read his articles in our local Sacramento Bee. Mark, introduce our guest, would you?
Well, yes, and joining us is one of the best consumer advocates, not only just from the travel standpoint, but in general. Chris Elliott writes for USA Today. He has been a frequent guest
on this program, and Chris's column appears on a regular basis in the travel section of the Sunday Sacramento Bee. So some of you have probably already heard this name before. Chris, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us on the Travel Guys today.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Chris, you wrote an article that came out on your website here recently about taking your kids to buy some computers in Florida, and about what happened. And I just, it's not a great story in terms of, it doesn't really have a happy ending, but it really has some great lessons, I think, for people who are going to be out shopping and traveling and stuff during the holiday season. This kind of thing can happen to anybody. You took the kids to the Apple store to buy some new computers, and tell us what happened.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have a very happy ending. We had been saving up for a long time to get computers for the kids. Our three kids are homeschooled because we travel so much. And so we told them on a weekend, we said, we're going to go over to the Apple store and get you some new MacBook Airs. So we went in, picked them out, set them up, and left the store, drove to a grocery store, put the computers in the back of our car. And when we returned from the grocery store, they weren't there anymore. They'd been taken. And we went back to the Apple store, told them what happened. We filed a police report, of course. And as it turns out, the mall that we had purchased them in, the Altamont Mall in Altamont Springs, Florida, had been staked out, apparently, by some criminals. And they were waiting for someone to come out of the store with products.
Mm-hmm.
They followed us into the parking lot of the grocery store, waited for us to get out of the car, and then got into the car, broke in, took the computers, and that was the last that we saw of them.
There you go. Mark, you know, for those that travel a lot, by the way, we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. We have Chris Elliott, national syndicated columnist on the line. Mark, you have had an incident as a traveler where you've had things stolen from you. Tell us about
that. Well, and that's kind of how this all ties in. You'd say, well, how is this a travel story? Well, it wasn't too many years ago. I went back to Cape Cod to visit some friends, checked out a rental car at the Boston airport, went to a roadside rest area about an hour down the road, went inside to do my business, came back out, and went another hour down the road to my destination, got there, opened the trunk, and every single thing that I had put in the trunk was gone. This wasn't a case of somebody following me from the rental car lot, I don't believe. It was a case of somebody staking out a rest area and identifying what they felt was a rental car, and obviously had some tool which allowed them to get in very quickly because there were no signs of forced entry. So and that's the reason when I read Chris's story, I immediately thought of that situation that had happened to me. His is more related to Christmas shopping, which a lot of our listeners are going to be doing over the next couple of months, but it also relates to travel, because the point is, if someone can identify you as being a target, then you've got a problem. And so you'd say, well, what are you going to do? I put my luggage in the trunk so people wouldn't see it. I try not to leave briefcases and stuff like that visible in cars because that's too easy of a target. But Chris, to Tom's point here, other than, and you said, well, you know, don't use an Apple bag walking out. But listen, a lot of stores in malls now have very fancy shopping bags, especially upscale stores, because the bag is part of the whole experience almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to really restrain yourself or order online. I mean, I think if anything, this experience has made us, as you know, we travel 300 days out of the year. So this experience has made us much more careful. When we are selecting a rental car, whereas we may have selected a larger SUV because we have a bigger family, now we are more likely to go into a less upscale sedan because we just don't want to attract attention. We don't want anyone to think that we have anything that's worth taking. And, you know, there are ways of actually not making yourself a target. Fancy shopping bags, any kind of jewelry. Jewelry really does it. I get a lot of complaints from cruise line passengers who want to take all of their jewelry with mm-hmm. them on a cruise, and that turns them into, it's like painting a large target on your back, because people can see your jewelry and they think that you have things that are worth taking, and they may follow you back to your cabin and rob you.
You may only have one or two pieces that were worth stealing, but nonetheless, you've identified yourself as a potential target just by visibly showing those things publicly.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a time for you to show off your jewelry, you know, and you go to church maybe, but you really don't want to do that in a public place when you may be in a different country and you know, you don't want to have to deal with the local police department there. You may not have the desired result. And you probably, in our case, definitely, we did not get our computers back. We will never get those back. We're out our deductible. But, you know, I've seen things happen that are much worse than that, where people have lost tens of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry, mm-hmm. and there's no recovering that.
Mark, I'm guessing that your experience where they stole your luggage out of a rental car would be and you probably are pretty safe about this, but not leaving, even if you've got your luggage left in the trunk, don't leave super valuable stuff in it. If you've got a laptop, if you've got jewelry, if you've got personal paperwork, that should be in a secure bag that you're carrying with you.
That, exactly, because if you have a rental car, I'd put everything in the trunk. There wasn't really anything besides whatever sticker was on the window of that car that told somebody who was in the know that it was a rental car vehicle. And if it was a rental car vehicle and they couldn't see any luggage anyplace, then that might have been a clue that, you know, indeed it was in the trunk. But, Chris, I guess the thing that mostly we're telling people is be smart. Look around you. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the fact that somebody might be watching you or something like that. Make yourself, you know, we tell folks when they go to big cities, don't put your wallet in your back pocket. Ladies, put your purse sideways across your body so that somebody can't just steal it off of your shoulder. I mean, a lot of these things are little simple things. But when I saw that the guy who tells people how to avoid these things had gotten caught himself, there's a little irony in that because, you know, you're the guy who's supposed to know how to avoid these things, and they got you.
That is true. I do have a book called How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler, and in it I say don't take valuables on your trip with you. In this case, we were transporting valuables back home, and there was really no way of avoiding it. If I had known we were being staked out, I would have ordered online. This is just a lesson learned and a very expensive one, too, unfortunately.
And before we let you go, Chris, you alluded to that, and I was going to go there next. Last time we talked to you in the spring, your book, How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler, had come out. It's available in paperback. It's not real expensive. And we will put a link. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we'll give you a link not only to Chris's website, but also a link to the book. So if you'd like to pick one up, it really is for a very minimal investment. It's just about the best thing that you could. We're always talking about how to be a smarter traveler, and Chris indeed has written a book that is full of tips. That I challenge you, if you buy this book and you don't find anything in it that will make you a smarter traveler, you send it to me. I'll send you your money back because it's that good of a book.
Well, what's going to happen is everybody's going to go get the book, uh-huh. and they'll read it, and our radio show will be of no use.
To do it all anymore. Chris, you take care of those three beautiful children of yours, and we'll catch up with you next time we see something of interest.
Sounds good to me. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. And for those of you that don't have Chris's book and want to be a smarter traveler, continue to keep listening. We are the Travel Guys here on KFPK.
You betcha, Tom. When we come back after the news break, we're going to take you out to Sacramento Airport and get you updated for the holiday season. We are the Travel Guys on KFPK.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the
Welcome. We are the Travel Guys. I'm Tom, and there's Mark. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and as we've been promoting all week long, we're going to bring you up to date today on all the activities going on at our Sacramento International Airport. Our special guest today, Lori Slothauer. She's the Communications and Media Officer for the Sacramento County Department of Airports. And Lori, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here, Tom.
Let's begin, Lori, with why don't you tell us what's new at Sacramento International Airport going into the holidays?
Well, one of the things I can tell you is that you won't have to worry about is road work. I don't know if any of your listeners watched that we repaved Airport Boulevard this past week. That's all done, and we're smooth sailing all the way to the end of the year. We're gearing up for our two busiest months of the year, mm-hmm. our holiday travel. You will start seeing holiday entertainment right about the day before Thanksgiving and then periodically throughout the end of the year.
Awesome. Now, with Thanksgiving and the holidays, there's going to be a lot of extra, you know, traffic at the airports. Do you have any tips for our travelers during the holidays?
Well, yeah. We're a very easy in, easy out airport. But this time of year, we recommend people come 2 hours in advance of their departure instead of the usual hour and a half that most airlines recommend. The busiest days are those 3 or 4 days before Christmas and the Sunday after New Year's. So just know that it's going to be a little busier than usual. Pack your patience. That's kind of the given with this time of the year.
Sure.
We have so many wonderful concessions in Terminal B. So another reason to get there early around the holidays is take advantage of some of those. The other thing is to have your parking options open, or to have like a backup plan. Parking is available as a first-come, first-served basis, and we have plenty of parking, but you may not be able to get into the economy lot. We have more passenger traffic this year than we did last year, and we're seeing the economy lot fill up pretty regularly.
Lori, we talked on the Travel Guys that the economy lot has gotten smaller. What would you recommend as an option for the economy lot?
Oh, I think the daily lot's the best value in parking at the airport. It's walking distance, mm-hmm. and we have a walking path. We put in a new walking path so you can walk through the garage and get to either of the terminals. It's minutes from Terminal A or Terminal B, either by walking or taking a shuttle. It's so much closer than the economy lot, and it's just a couple of bucks more. I really think it's a good value.
Awesome, Lori. Hey, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today. Now, we'll be having you back in a couple of weeks, and we'll do this about every 2 weeks all the way through up to Christmas. So be listening to the Travel Guys as we bring Lori and information about Sacramento International Airport to you here on the Travel Guys on a regular basis. Thanks again, Lori.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, we are the Travel Guys, and the airport folks will be back with us on a real regular basis between now and Christmas to kind of give us updates about things that are going on out at the airport, good, bad, and otherwise.
Every couple of weeks. And in fact, you know, why don't we let our audience know if they would like to have a question that they would like us to ask Lori when she visits us in a couple of weeks. Go to travelguysradio.com. And
you can fill out a it's real easy there. You can ask a question and send it to us. There's also a link to the airport there on our website. Are all kinds of links of everything that's anything that's mentioned on the program, and always a few extra things that we just found during the week that we don't have time to talk about that we threw in. TravelGuysRadio.com will get you everything about the Travel Guys. All right, let's we have a guest with us here in the studio from KVIE. Hi, Heath.
Hi.
Heath Buckmaster is with us in the studio today to talk about something kind of exciting at our new something new at our public television station.
Television worth watching, I might add.
Thank you very much.
Clayton would be very proud of you for saying that. He walks around the office sometimes and just says, "Television worth watching." Anyways. Well,
he's a great spokesperson.
He doesn't really do that. There's lint on this microphone here. Whose lint do you suppose?
I don't know. Don't go there. We got in trouble for mentioning
lint.
The gum.
Okay.
So I don't.
And there's been no gum ever since. So Heath, tell us, you guys have an art gallery now at KVIE.
We do. It opened on October 23rd. It's right inside the KVIE lobby. So it's a space that's freely open and accessible
now,
by the
public.
Now, is
this a gallery that you go in and just look at, or is this a gallery where you can go in and buy things that are on display,
both,
if you wish?
Both. All of the artwork that's displayed is for sale. KVIE gets a portion of the proceeds of all of those sales. So it's a wonderful fundraising space as well as a great art space.
Heath, who's the... Who thought this up? Why are we doing this?
Well, so, you know, we have a lovely lobby, and we mm-hmm. walk people in, and they enter the building, and we thought the space is right now being used for PBS posters, KVIE posters. Wouldn't it be great if we had a creative space right when you walk into the building?
Excellent. Uh-huh.
So that people feel like, wow, I'm entering something special. So our facilities team completely renovated the space. We have currently got an exhibition featuring photography by Kurt Fishback. He's a local photographer. 9 works of art are up on the walls right now, and we'll be there for the next 2 months.
It looks kind of interesting. So people could go in and they could buy one of those 9 pieces if they wanted to. They can also see the pieces that are on display in the lobby are on display online.
Absolutely. So we have a website, kvie.org/gallery, mm-hmm. and that website allows you to view all of the artwork that is available on display. It will also feature what our upcoming collections are, as well as you can look in the past once we get to that point.
So is this going to give, I'm assuming that this is going to be open to all types of artists. It can be not just paintings, but it could be...
sculpture as well. We've actually been looking at some wonderful sculpture artists that participate in the art auction and how we might make space for some of their works as well.
Kurt, you indicated that we have a photographer, and this is the very first show that you have.
He is. He's our inaugural exhibition.
And what do we have coming up after that?
So we're very excited. Right after the beginning of the year, D.L. Thomas, who is a well-known artist, who is a longtime participant in the art auction as well, he will be exhibiting. And he's been working for the last 3 years on portraits of well-known artists, writers, contemporaries. So we're very excited. There will actually be an opening reception for him just after the new year on January 14, and we'll be opening the space up an evening after work so that people can come in and experience his art.
This is kind of good for a couple of reasons. It not only gives exposure to more artists around town and the like, and you know, heck, they might sell something. If they do, they make a buck, and public television makes a buck too. But just from an exposure standpoint of tying a thing online, and plus, of course, KVIE for how many years has been part of their fundraising mantra each year has been an art auction.
Absolutely.
Or some other, it's our public broadcasting entities in town are always peddling something. That's the nature of the business is that, well, you know, our other broadcasting entities are always peddling something too. It's just done in an entirely different way.
But the benefit of your public television station is, for example, you know, 500 hours of arts programming each year that you can enjoy, or all of the wonderful music and drama specials. I mean, Downton Abbey wouldn't be around if it wasn't for public television bringing that to our
I don't area. Want to put you on the spot, but for years, our public television station here in town has been kind of a standout. I mean, we've had better ratings, more people watch, percentage-wise, in the Sacramento market, watch KVIE than percentage-wise watch public television in many other markets around the country. What would you say has been the key to KVIE's success? Because you've had different general managers, you've had different people there at the station. How has the station always been? It's kind of been a pillar in the community. I mean, really, it has. I'm very proud to be associated with it. My company's been an underwriter on the station for 20 plus years, and we wouldn't be there if we didn't think that it was a good place to be. What is it that makes KVIE a little bit special when it comes to public broadcasting stations?
I would say it is our local storytelling. There are so many public TV stations around the country that don't necessarily have the capacity to do as many local stories as we do. You know, we have Rob on the road. He's our local travel guy. Every week you go on an adventure with him out into our world. Every week we have studios.
And most other public television stations do not have something
like
that.
They might not, right? I mean, we're the 20th largest television market. We have that local capability. We have Studio Sacramento, which is our weekly, you know, kind of news and public affairs talk program. We have our brand new Yes, We're Open that focuses on local small businesses and local stories. We have our Emmy-winning Viewfinder series, which is another series that focuses on local stories of interest.
So you think that local focus is
the... It's the local focus, because you could turn on a public television station and get the national feed from PBS, Nova, Nature, Masterpiece, and they're all wonderful. But where's the local connection? How do I get access to something that's happening in my region? And
so
that's
this,
the value add.
And this new gallery is just another opportunity for another way for local folks
absolutely.
To
absolutely. It's an extension of our arts mission, right? We have the art auction. We do Art 21 screenings. We do gallery events. But this is yet another way that KVIE is saying the arts are important, just like local storytelling, just like local agriculture, which are kind of pillars for KVIE.
Mm-hmm.
This is just an extension of that, and it's a wonderful space for artists.
We're talking with Heath Buckmaster from KVIE. Heath, the art exhibit there at the studios, and here again, you know, you have your fundraisers. Is the percentage of the dollars that people spend to buy art at the gallery going to go to support KVIE?
A portion of it will. So the artist always gets paid for their work, and then a portion of the proceeds go to KVIE, which again funds all of the programs
and
services.
And how would people, if an artist was interested in exhibiting there and being on exhibition at KVIE, how would they, is there a way on the website to be able to make a request to be one of the folks that
might have that opportunity? You certainly can. So our curator's email address is on there, dneath.
Okay.
You know, we're actually very proud. We believe we're one of the few PBS stations in the country that have a full-time art curator on staff.
Wow, outstanding.
And that's because our commitment to the arts is so important.
KVIE has an art gallery in the public studios over there off of West El Camino Avenue. So
Neat.
If you are an art aficionado, why you can stop by there and take a look. And there will be rotating exhibitions.
Every 2 months.
Thank you, Heath, for coming by the studio
today.
You
are welcome. Thank
and
you.
And we'll put a link, or we have a link.
We have a link. Yes. Travelguysradio.com. You can go right on there, and you can see the link, and you can go right. It'll show you all of the stuff that's on display right now at the KVIE lobby. When we come back after the break, yes, sir.
Yes, I was just going to say, and moving forward, keep an eye on that that link to find out what artists will be featured next.
Absolutely.
At the gallery.
When we come back after the break, we're going to talk with Patrick Bristow. Patrick, you'll recognize that name. Patrick has been around television for the last 20 or so years on a lot of situation comedies, has a wonderful new puppet show in San Francisco. It's just for adults. Right after the break.
All right, next on The Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west,
you're tuned to the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Tom Romano with you, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. And it's that time of the program where we feature some entertainment. Mark, we got a super, super special guest that you've got a little bit of history with, in that you're what you might call a big fan of this gentleman.
Well, a little bit, Tom. And this is really a fun show we're going to tell you about now. It's going to be at the in San Francisco for a couple weeks in November. And Patrick Bristow is our guest, and you may say, Patrick Bristow, gosh, I've heard that name.
Where do I know that name from?
Yeah, I've heard that name somewhere before. Patrick, you've been around for a year or two, haven't you? Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I've been around, you know. Doing a little TV, a little film, a little this, a little of that for a few decades. You know?
People could just about turn on the television set in the evening, Patrick. It'd be almost hard to avoid you now between Ellen and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Whose Line Is It Anyway? I mean, you've done your share of comedy on television, that's for certain.
Yeah, you know, the reruns are always out there. I'm always hearing, like, oh, I saw you on this, I saw you on that. And then I go to my mailbox and I get checks for 63 cents.
I was just going to say, do they send you a check for $1.12 every time an old Ellen episode plays? Or
you'd be surprised at the wide variety. I literally got a check for 0.00 a few years back. As time goes by, the amounts go down. So people think, oh, I see you on TV, you must be set. And it's like, well, no, not exactly. No complaints, mind you, but the reality is very different than sometimes the expectations.
Patrick, before we talk about the show Puppet Up that's coming to the Marines Memorial in San Francisco, you got your start at a wonderful comedy playhouse in Hollywood called The Groundlings on Melrose Avenue down there that I've visited several times. And that's been a ways back, I'm guessing, what, maybe 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think actually it was 20 years ago that I retired from The Groundlings.
Wow.
So then it means it was 25 years ago that I became part of the main company. And, of course, since that time, it has just, you know, generated so many incredibly talented people who, you know, have amazing careers and are even crossing over from comedy to drama. And I'm very proud to have it as my alma mater.
So, Patrick, now you're involved in the show called Puppet Up, which is coming to San Francisco for a very limited run. It's only 2 weeks, so you can't miss around. It's going to open up on the 13th. It just has a two-week run in San Francisco. Tell us a little bit about this show, which really appears to be a little bit of a spinoff from some puppets we've known for many years, perhaps on a little different level.
Well, you know, the thing about our show is it's a little hard to describe, but I've done it enough times that I think I can take a stab at it here.
Okay.
You know, imagine watching Henson puppeteers on stage where they're not hidden. You can actually see them, and they're holding the puppets and working them above their heads, which is the Henson way. And then a camera that's mounted downstage allows large projections to be set up on either side of the stage. So you can either watch the projection screens where you just see the puppets the way you're used to seeing them, kind of from, you know, the waist up, or you just avert your glance a couple degrees down and you can actually see the puppeteers manipulating the puppets. So it's kind of two shows in one.
It's a bit more adult, a bit different material than you might find at a Jim Henson Muppet show in the past.
Well, absolutely. It's not for kids because a lot of it is improv, you know, improvised sketches based on audience suggestions. The content can go a little naughty, it can go a little blue, and occasionally it can go downright shocking.
So I'm guessing every show is very different, therefore.
Absolutely. We have some set pieces like an opening number, a closing number, a couple of vintage recreations of early Jim Henson and Frank Oz pieces. And then the rest of it is made up on the spot. So the audience is really in control of the show to a great extent. And, of course, you put a bunch of adults out there who get to tell the puppets what to do, and maybe most of the audience has had a glass of wine or three. And you can imagine that sometimes the content can get a little bit randy. But we have fun with that. And as Brian Henson himself has said, it's kind of an homage to his father's, you know, more personal sense of humor, which was pretty dark and twisted and delightful.
Patrick, you can sometimes tell how popular a show is by how often people come back. And I was watching some of the videos on your Puppet Up website, and you can almost tell that the people in the audience have come to your shows before, because you look for audience participation and you ask questions. And do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. You would get a lot of repeat audience members, and we even have some people that are. I've posted on Facebook that they're flying out to San Francisco from like the Midwest to see the show.
Sure.
You know, so I guess we're getting kind of groupies.
I would guess that just based on the old Beach Blanket Babylon theory from San Francisco, that this show is going to have some really great moments in the city. It opens on the 13th. We're talking with Patrick Bristow as our guest here on the Travel Guys, and we're talking about an adult puppet show called Puppet Up. Uncensored. It is. It's running 2 weeks at the Marines Memorial Theater in San Francisco. It opens on the 13th of November, and I would strongly encourage you, if you are headed to the city, that you might want to pick up a couple tickets, or if you're not headed to the city, you may want to put this on your calendar. It's not the kind of thing that comes along every day. Patrick, how did you get involved in this particular program?
Well, actually, the show evolved from a class. Brian Henson had me come in to teach improv skills to a group of puppeteers who he employed on a regular basis, and they took to it so quickly and were so delightful and fun and funny and did such a wide variety of characters that I suggested to him after about a month and a half, I said, you know, we should do a little show on the Henson lot for the other employees to give these students a chance to actually perform in front of people. And Brian took that to the next level, and next thing I hear, he's rented bleachers to put in the soundstage, and there's an invited audience of about 200 people. And, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. We were just doing puppets with improv, combining the two.
Well, Patrick, thank you, really, truly thank you for a few minutes of your time today. It's not often that the Travel Guys get to talk to an authentic star.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you guys... If I'm your authentic star, you guys need to up your game a little bit.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to be polite. You know, I mean, it's all...
Nice, Mark.
Patrick Bristow will be starring in Puppet Up at the Marines Memorial Theater in San Francisco for a couple of weeks starting on the 13th of November, and the Travel Guys give it 2 thumbs up. Check it out. You can go to our website at travelguysradio.com, and there will be a link to where you can get tickets so that you can go see Patrick and the improv on stage. I think it will be a lot of fun. Patrick, thanks again, buddy.
My pleasure, guys.
We are the Travel Guys and Entertainment right here on News Radio KFBK. More to come.
More to come. Not very much more to come. Once again, another episode of the Travel Guys is about to wrap up. Mr. Romano gives us an opportunity to remind our folks to visit travelguysradio.com, where they will find links to all the guests and all the stuff that we talked about on today's program, including a lot of stuff that we didn't talk about on today's program because we didn't have any time.
You know, and we want to remind you that on a regular basis between now and Christmas, we will be having special guests from the Sacramento Metropolitan Airport, SMF, Sacramento International Airport, I should say. SMF. What is SMF?
Boy, you almost blew that one.
What does SMF mean, you know?
Sacramento Metropolitan Field. That's what it meant.
I thought we've had a lot of play on words.
You know, there are probably a lot of sports leisure travelers who are sitting out there right now, and they're saying, when is Mark going to announce like that lucky sports leisure traveler? Right now, Tom right now is checking the trash.
Mark had it. I know.
When I came in today,
I had
the winner. I had drawn it in when I was at the office earlier today, and I had it. I even was walking around with it before we came in here. We've looked everywhere for it, and it's not here.
Well,
so
I guess
next
we'll double
week,
up.
Next week, there will be two lucky. Mary, stop laughing over there. Mary, listen. Mary, turn on your microphone. Mary West, our news lady, is in here. We have just a second here.
I introduced her to Mr. Buckmaster as Mary Wells.
Mary, did you hear
many
about the story
that
the guy from Canada, his girlfriend left him, so now he's offering. So if your name is Elizabeth, what was her last name?
Oh, yes. I did hear about that.
Yes, you can apply and get, and he doesn't want anything. Would you do something like that?
If I had the right name, sure.
See, Tom, I told you. He says already he's gotten 24 or something, things like that from other people.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys. Mary's got the news for you next. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock. You have yourself a wonderful and safe week. And we'll see you right here on the Travel Guys 1 week from today.